Good afternoon, everybody. And this is a real treat and privilege to have an opportunity to learn Torah with you this afternoon. I was wowed by the view as I came into this room, and I'm wowed by the crowd as well. So it's really nice to have a chance to be in Melbourne and to be learning Torah with you. The subject that I want to discuss this afternoon is loosely linked to the parasha. In terms of our starting pasuk is going to be from the parasha, something which could be a shiur given at any time, but it's got particular relevance to Parashat Toldot, and it's the question of I've titled it, "Did Avraham Avinu lay tefillin?" Really, the question of did the avot keep the mitzvot? There's a Gemara in Masechet Yoma and Daf Kaf Chet, which says as follows: Amar Rav. So Rav says, "Kiyem Avraham Avinu kol haTorah kula." That Avraham Avinu, he observed the entire Torah. Shenemar, how do we know that? We've got a pasuk in this week's parasha. It's at the end of Rishon. Eikev asher shama Avraham b'koli, because Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is saying to Yitzchak that he's going to increase Yitzchak's offspring, because Avraham listened to his voice, Vaishmor Mishmarti Mitzvotai Chukotai V'Torotai, and he observed my ordinances, my commandments, my statutes, and my teachings. So we see that Avraham Avinu has followed the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward Avraham and his descendants. So Rav is darshaning from this pasuk that it says, Avraham Avinu vayishmor mishmarti, he observed my ordinances, chukotai, mitzvotai, v'torotai, and all my rules. So Avraham Avinu kept the Torah. So the Gemara challenges that and says, hold on a minute, Amale Rav Shimi Barchi al Rav, Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvot, maybe it was just the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach that Avraham observed. So we say, well, you know, that could be the case, because Ha'ika Nami Mila, there's not just the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach that were there for Avraham, there was also the Mitzvah Brit Mila. Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvot U'Mila. So, okay, maybe it was the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and the Mitzvah Mila. Amale Imkei Mitzvotai V'Torotai Lamali. Why does it say, no, not just Vayishmor Mishmarti, but also Mitzvotai Chukotai V'Torotai? So, Amar Ravi Tema Ravashi. In actual fact, Kiyem Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu observed, Afilu Eruvei Tavshilin. Even the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin, which is, of course, a mitzvah midrabanan. So when Avraham Avinu had Yom Tov falling on a Friday, he made Eruv Tavshilin. Not only did he keep the Yom Tov, and we'll ask the question in a moment, like, Avraham Avinu, he kept Pesach, you know, he read the Haggadah, he said, Avadim Hayinu Lefarol B'Mitzrayim, what exactly it means, but more than that, he even prepared an Eruv Tavshilin, Shenemar Torotai, Achat Torah Shebichtav, Achat Torah Shebaalpeh. So Avraham Avinu observed not just the writers, but he also observed the Drabanans as well. Now, the Gemara has very clearly darshaned this pasuk, and the Gemara is concerned by the fact that it says, Mishmarti, Mitzvotai, Chukotai, V'Torotai, can't just be referring to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, can't just be referring to those, that group of mitzvot, because we've got so many different expressions there. The Pashtanim, those Mefarshim, which are focused on the Pshat, the straightforward meaning of the Pesukim, they actually say, yes, of course it can be limited to that. For example, the Rashbam, he says, Vayishmor Mishmarti, what's the Mishmeret? Kagon Mila, Brit Mila, that's the ordinance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu. And what's the Mitzvotai? What are the Mitzvot? That is Kagon Mitzvot Shmona Yamim. That's to observe it on the eighth day. And Chukotai V'Torotai, that's according to the Chizkuni, that refers to, you know, circumcising your future generations as well. So it's The Pashtanim aren't challenged by this Pasuk, but Rashi darshans the Pasuk in accordance with Rav in the Gemara, and says that it's referring to Avraham Avinu observing all of the mitzvot in the Torah. Now, we've got a number of questions that we need to address, we need to ask in this context. The first question that I want to deal with is... I saw the hands go up and said, hold on a minute though, there's a Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin. There's a Mishnah at the end of Masechet Kiddushin, which tells us that in actual fact, Avraham Avinu, Asa Avraham Kol HaTorah Asher Lo Nitna, that Avraham Avinu, Asa Kol HaTorah Kula, he kept the whole Torah even before it was given. So Rav is an Amora, since when does Rav need to come along and tell us what's already been mentioned in a Mishnah? We've got a Mishnah which tells us exactly the same thing. What is Rav adding to that? So we've got a number of answers to that question. The first answer that I want to share with you is from the Maharsha, and the Maharsha raises this question and points out the Mishnah in Kiddushin, and he says that we need to be medayik in the Lashon of the Mishnah, and medayik in the Lashon, we need to look carefully at what the Mishnah said and look carefully at what Rav said. If we look in the Maharsha, I've bolded the strictly relevant passage, and the Maharsha says, "Dehazam lo mashma ela sha'asa kol hamitzvot." There it says, the Mishnah in Kiddushin says that Avraham Avinu asa Avraham. It says asa, he did. Okay, he did the Torah. You know, I'm doing the Torah. What does that mean? V'hainu ha'asiyim. That means the positive mitzvot. Avalishna de Rav Kiyim. But then Rav came along and said that Kiyim kol ha'Torah. That Avraham Avinu, he observed the entire Torah. Mashma nami alavin shel Torah. So that indicates that Avraham Avinu also observed the negative mitzvot in the Torah. So we have Avraham Avinu, according to the Mishnah, he did the asin. That's, he did gemiluk chasadim. He did brit milah. Maybe he even kept Shabbat. He presumably kept the mitzvah v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. He loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rav is telling us more than that. He observed the lavin as well. He didn't eat chazatreif for his lunch. He did. He kept the prohibitions of the Torah as well. So that, according to the Maharsha, is the difference between the Mishnah in Masechet Kiddushin and the Gemara in Masechet Yoma. The Ben Ish Chai, one of the Sfardi greats of the 19th century, in his commentary on Shas, the Ben Yehoyada, so of Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, he also asks this question, and he gives a different answer. And he makes the observation that we've got a principle in halacha that gadol ha-mitzuva va'oseh mimisha eino mitzuva va'oseh, meaning if you've got two people who are doing a mitzvah and one has an obligation to do the mitzvah and the other doesn't have an obligation to do the mitzvah, who gets the greater reward? So we might have thought that, listen, I didn't have to come and do this mitzvah. What were the classic examples? Mitzvah taseh shazman grama, positive time-bound mitzvot, which women are exempt from and men are obligated with. So the mitzvah, say, of tkiat shofar, women don't have to listen to shofar and Rosh Hashanah. I might have thought that a woman goes to the trouble of listening to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I might have thought that she gets a greater reward because, you know, she could have stayed at home and you know, eating apple and honey and honey cake and the like. Instead, she came to shul to hear shofar. She should get a greater reward. But in actual fact, that's not the case. So the halakha is that a person who's got an obligation to do the mitzvah has a greater reward for doing the mitzvot. So Avraham Avinu was a Gentile. There's no such thing as we often talk about Avraham being the first Jew. He was the first Jewish person. He wasn't the first Jew, but he was Jewish. Okay, he had the hashkafot of a Jew, perhaps the observances of a Jew as well. But essentially, he was a nochri. He had no chiyuv in the mitzvot. So the Mishnah is telling us that Avraham Avinu Asa, he did the mitzvot. Rav is coming to be mechadish to us that not only did he do the mitzvot, but he was in the kain the mitzvot as if he was mitzvah v'osa. He got the reward for doing the mitzvot as if he'd had an obligation to do it. And that's something that the Mishnah doesn't tell us. The Mishnah just tells us that Avraham Avinu observed the mitzvot, and Rav is coming along to tell us that not only did he observe them, but he observed them and got the reward as if he was a Jew. Now, the most fundamental question, though, that we have to ask about this this whole sugya is, what does it really mean that Avraham Avinu kept the mitzvot of the Torah? Does it really mean that when Avraham Avinu got up in the morning, he put on tefillin? Does it really mean, he kept the drabanans, that when he sat down to his breakfast, he said not only a bracha acharona, but also a bracha rishona, which is drabanan? Or does it perhaps have a different meaning? Now, it's not beyond the realms of easy postulation to say, you know, Avraham Avinu, he did lay tefillin in the mornings because he wanted to show his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In actual fact, if Avraham Avinu wore tefillin, my guess would be that he wore them the whole day, not just in the morning. He wasn't modern, he was ancient. So in antiquity, he might have worn his tefillin all day. It's not inconceivable to me that Avraham Avinu said a bracha when he ate some food or when he did a mitzvah. The challenge is going to be the commemorative mitzvot. You know, if Avraham Avinu, you know, did he sit down on Seder night and say the Haggadah, Vavadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim? That's, did he go to shul on Parashat Zachor and Lain Zachor Eit Asher Asalach Amalek? Remember what Amalek did to you. This is a historic commemorative mitzvah for something that never happened. I'm not intellectually challenged with the notion that Avraham Avinu would sit down on Friday night and make Kiddush Vayerev Vayvoke Yom HaShishi, because Maaseh Bereishit was something in the past, something that he would have been aware of, something that he could commemorate.
Yeah, but what tefillah would he say?
Well, Shacharit he was all right for, because Avraham Avinu was Matakin Shacharit. But Mincha and Arvit, yeah, exactly. That's the question. When he said Kiddush, he said Zeichel and Maaseh Bereishit. Did he say Zeichel Tziat Mitzrayim? So these are the questions that we're going to have to deal with. And essentially, we'll find that there are two camps. There are those who suggest, as seems to be suggested by Rashi and a straightforward reading of the Gemara, that Avraham Avinu kept Tariyag Mitzvot as much as any one individual can do so. However, there are eminent authorities who say that it doesn't actually mean quite what it says. I want to start with comments of the Netziv. The Netziv, in his commentary on Shas, which is called Merome Sadeh, he says, what does it mean that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah? Three lines from the end, the Netziv says, El Apiresh Asa. What does it mean? The Lashon of the Mishnah is Asa. To Asa means really to make something, to create something. He involved himself and immersed himself into understanding what Torah is about, leida pratedinim, so that he would understand the details of the mitzvot that he was keeping, v'zenikra gam kenasa, and that is what it means, asa. He says, actually, in the second line, Ein lefarish sheshamar lasot. It doesn't mean that he actually, you know, measured out a kazayat of matzah on Seder night to make sure that he ate the correct share. But rather, the mitzvot that he had, he delved into them, and he wasn't just sort of simply aware that he had to do them, but he had a deeper understanding of them. If we go back several hundred years, we'll see even in the Rishonim, Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam also dismisses the notion that it means that he actually observed the mitzvot, fulfilled the mitzvot in the way that we do. And he says that really what it means that He focused on the Ikarei HaEmunah SheBaTorah V'Shorsheha. He focused on really what it's all about. You know, notions of Emunah, notions of belief in the Almighty and the creation of the world. Now, this is a question that comes up, you know, every year there's somebody who'll ask me this question. You know, we talk about, you know, Yaakov Avinu going to the yeshiva of Shem Va'Evar. You know, what did they learn in the yeshiva of Shem Va'Evar? Did they have art scroll gemaras that's in the yeshiva of Shem Va'Evar? Well, they might have had art scroll. It's not clear that they had the gemara. So what is it that they learned? They learned philosophy. They thought about the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They learned the Kuzari. Kuzari hadn't yet been written, but they learned what was going to be written in the Kuzari, in the Morin Nevuchim, and Sharei Tshuva, etc., etc. That, according to Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, he says, it doesn't mean to say, Lo sheshamru et ha-shabbat, or achlu matzah b'fesach. It doesn't mean to say, in the conventional sense, of observing the mitzvot. Notwithstanding that, we find that there are both Rishonim and Acharonim, who actually believe that the Avot were bound by the mitzvot in the same way that that we are. Now, it's interesting because, of course, the Gemara says, Kiyem Avraham Avinu. It was Avraham Avinu who kept the mitzvot. But in actual fact, we find that the Rishonim and the Acharonim, they standardly believe that it was the Avot as a whole, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and some suggesting that the Shvatim also kept the mitzvot in the Torah. In any event, the Ramban poses a question. It's a famous question. The question of the Ramban is, if the Avot observed the mitzvot in the Torah, then how is it that we find that the Torah itself tells us of instances where the Avot failed to observe the mitzvot in the Torah? And the most classic example is that Yaakov Avinu, he married two sisters whilst they were both alive. That's something which is prohibited midoraita, biblically prohibited to marry two sisters. So how was it that Yaakov Avinu did so? So the Ramban presents the possibility that in actual fact, Vayishmor Mishmarati Mitzvotai Chukotai V'Torotai is referring to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and associated mitzvot. But then he rejects that and he goes for a straightforward reading, perhaps a pshat in the Gemara rather than a pshat in the Pesukim. And he answers his question, how was it that that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters? He says, Shmiratao tahaya ba'aretz bilvad. V'Yaakov b'chutzal ha'aretz nasa chayot. Ah, the Avot, they kept the mitzvot only when they were in Eretz Yisrael. When they were in Eretz Yisrael, they kept the mitzvot. When they were in chutzal ha'aretz, they didn't keep the mitzvot. And Yaakov Avinu, he married the two sisters when he was in Padan Aram. And we know that when he returned to Eretz Yisrael, when he got to the border of Eretz Yisrael, came to Beit Lechem, and that's when Rachel Imenu passed away, because he couldn't remain married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the answer that the Ramban gives. The Maharsha also addresses the question, gives a technical answer. The Maharsha says, "Pani Rebuchol zed Moshen asa Yaakov bet achayot." How was it that Yaakov married two sisters? Well, it wasn't a halachic problem, because in actual fact, your whole question is wrong. They weren't two sisters. Yesh lomar kevan dibnot nochrim hayu. They were born to Gentiles. Hayu ha'imahot, that's who they were. Shenisu li Yaakov nitgairu. They were not Jewish. Then when they got married to Yaakov Avinu, they became Jewish. Ein lahem kurva klal v'lo nesru li Yaakov. So by the time they married Yaakov, they were no longer sisters. Dekatan shenolad damu. Because we've got a halachic principle, Gershen Itgayer, a person who converts, is Kikatan Shenolad Dami, is like a newborn child. They've got no halachic family relationship to their biological relatives. So therefore, they're newborns, they're not related to each other, and Yaakov Avinu was able to marry two sisters there. The Brisker Rav, the Griz, Reb Velvel, gives a typically Brisker answer to this question, and he says there are shtei dinim. There are two ways of understanding the Jewish identity. He says, I've highlighted it, this in the Kedushei HaGriz. He says, Mikol zeh mochach de vahachefza haya lehen shein Yisrael, ela de vedin haya din b'nei nach. He says the Avot, they were, as a cheftza, as an item, they were Jewish, but as a din, halachically, they weren't Jewish. Now, what exactly does that mean? I think the easiest way to say what he's saying is that in terms of their religious affiliation and identity, they identified as being Jewish, but in a halachic sense, they weren't actually Jewish. So Avraham Avinu, he wasn't actually Jewish. In a certain sense, he was Jewish, but in a certain sense, he wasn't Jewish. He was called a Jew. We call him the first Jew, but in a halachic sense, he wasn't a Jew. And therefore, from a halachic perspective, he could marry the two sisters. But what? Sorry?
Who was the first halachic Jew?
First halachic Jew was after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, they became halachic Jews. They were Jews in name prior to Matan Torah, but they weren't Jews in din.
If he wasn't Jewish, how could he keep Shabbos?
Oh, very good, excellent. So that leads us on to the next question. So if Avraham Avinu wasn't Jewish, and it's fascinating to my mind how seriously the Achronim are taking these questions in terms of if Avraham Avinu, if the Gemara tells us he kept the mitzvot, then presumably kept all the mitzvot. Where we find that he's not keeping a mitzvah, where we find that Yaakov is not keeping a mitzvah, we need to know why he's not keeping the mitzvah. And then we've got questions, as the gentleman here just asked. Hold on a minute, we've got a principle that Ger Nochri Sheshavat, Goy Sheshavat, is Chayav Mita. If a Gentile observes Shabbat, they're Chayav Mita, they're not allowed to observe Shabbat. So if Avraham Avinu, if he wasn't a halachic Jew, then how could he keep Shabbat? That's going to be a problem for us. So this is answered in the Sefer HaMakneh. Sefer HaMakneh is the, easy to say, the Baal Hafla, but one of the Achronim on Masechet Kiddushin, Talmud, Rebbe Pinchas Horovitz, who was a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich, very interesting, Litvish Chassid, if you like, in terms of his learning wasn't Chassidish, but his Neshama was Chassidish. Make of that what one wishes. But in any event, he addresses this question, and he posits that prior to Matan Torah, that for a non-Jew, that a day was measured from morning till evening. And whereas it's only in a halachic sense that it's observed from evening till evening. So therefore, when Avraham Avinu, as a Nochri, kept Shabbat, the only thing that a Nochri couldn't do to keep Shabbat is a Nochri couldn't keep Saturday as Shabbat, whether it's from 6 a.m. Saturday morning till 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, whether we say it's from midnight on Saturday, on Friday night till midnight on Motzei Shabbat. That's what he wasn't allowed to do. If he kept that, he would be Chav Mita. But if he kept a halachic Shabbat, he wouldn't be Chav Mita. And as an aside, that's one of the ideas that some of the Bat Eidin rely on, that's in terms of preparing Geirim for conversion. That's a person who's not yet Jewish, is obviously, if they're preparing for conversion, we encourage them to keep Shabbat. But we don't want them to keep Shabbat in its full halachic sense, because then they would be Chav Mita. So some suggest that you should tell a potential ger to break Shabbat in some way. That's turn on a light. That's not publicly, but turn on the light. Others say that wearing tzitzit in Rosh HaRabim will solve your problem. But if it's in an area where there's an Eruv, then it's not a Rosh HaRabim, so you'd have a problem. One of the ways of dealing with it is saying, no, it's only problematic if they were to observe Shabbat from midnight till midnight. That would be the problem. But to observe a halachic Shabbat wouldn't be a problem. A further question that comes up goes back to Parashat Lech Lecha, where we find that Avraham Avinu was commanded with the mitzvah of Brit Milah, and he fulfilled Brit Milah. The Achronim ask, hold on a minute. If Avraham Avinu knew prophetically to observe all the mitzvot in the Torah, so why did he need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him to go and do Brit Milah? He should have been aware of that in any event. So again, the Griz, the Brisker Rav, answers this question, and uses a halachic way of answering it. He says, the din of Brit Milah, you're only able to properly fulfill the mitzvah of Brit Milah if first you're an RL. If first you've got the halachic status of being uncircumcised, and then you do Brit Milah to stop you being uncircumcised. He says, prior to there being a mitzvah of Milah, there's no halachic status of being an RL. So therefore, Avraham Avinu couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Brit Milah prior to being told to fulfill the mitzvah of Brit Milah, because Brit Milah only applies to a person who is an RL, who's got the status of being uncircumcised. And until there's a mitzvah to be circumcised, then there's no din of being an RL. In any event, so what we've seen is there's certainly a body of opinion that takes it very seriously, the notion that in actual fact the avot kept the mitzvot essentially the same way that that we do. But shivim panim la Torah, there's certainly multiple ways of understanding a sugya, each of which is correct in its own right. And as we saw from Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam and from the Netziv, there are those who say that it doesn't mean what it says on face value, and that it's got a wider implication. So let's look at the 3-day Eish, Reb Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg, one of the Gedolim of the 20th century. He also addresses this question, and he says halfway through the bolded bit, he says, "Uladati lo kiyem Avraham Avinu mitzvot matzah umaro v'chadome." Certainly, we can say that Avraham Avinu didn't eat matzah and didn't eat maror on Seder night to commemorate the Avdus and the Cheirut. Even though, of course, Chazal tell us that he served matzah to the three malachim, and certainly if Avraham didn't, certainly Lot did, because it was Pesach. Nevertheless, for kiyem rak hamitzvot shelo nitnu b'tor ot v'zeicha lemora ot she'iru achareichein, he only kept mitzvot which weren't commemorative mitzvot. And what it means is that he fulfilled the mitzvot which are really about a relationship or a specific relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly if one wants to believe that Avraham Avinu didn't lay tefillin in the morning, then that's there's grounds to say that he didn't do so, and that his Avodat Hashem was focused on loving Hashem and fearing Hashem and walking in Hashem's ways. But if that's the case, we do need to have an understanding as to why Chazal told us that even the mitzvah of Eruv Tashilin that Avraham Avinu observed. So the Ritva simply points out that Eruv Tashilin is, there are lots of mitzvot d'Rabbanan. We could have said that Avraham Avinu lit Hanukkah candles, or if we're worried about Hanukkah candles being commemorative, so he made Kiddush al HaKos. To make Kiddush on Friday night is Doraita, and to make it at the table with a glass of wine is drabanan. So we could say that Avraham Avinu made kiddush al hakos. Why does it say he made his eruv tavshilin? Because eruv tavshilin is a very simple mitzvah. It's you only need a kazayit for many, many people. It's a zecher ba'alma, simply to remind you of the fact that you can't normatively cook, you know, on Yom Tov for when it's not Yom Tov, etc., etc. Meaning that the whole gamut of mitzvot Avraham Avinu observed. But I want to finish off with a very different understanding of what it means that Avraham Avinu kept the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin. And there's a passage from Rav Kook, which I've got here in the original Hebrew, but I've also got it as was summed up by Moriv Rabbi Harav Amital Zichrono Livracha. Rav Amital was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, Yeshivat Haretzion, and he addressed this question in one of his sichot. And I'll just read through the passage in English. A scholar once wrote to Rav Kook that this statement cannot be taken literally. How could Avraham know what the rabbinical courts would decree 1,000 years in the future? The sages must have intended to convey a subtler message. Avraham's philosophical mastery of the Torah was so complete, his understanding of the Torah's theoretical underpinnings was so comprehensive, that it encompassed even the underlying rationales for future decrees. So when we say that Avraham Avinu kiyem the Kol HaTorah, what it means, it doesn't mean to say in a practical sense that he did the mitzvot, but practical mitzvot are not supposed to be empty actions devoid of a meaning that impacts upon our religious identity and spiritual makeup. They are supposed to impact on those things. And Avraham Avinu was able to divine those ideas even without doing the mitzvot. Rav Kook, however, was not taken with this explanation. In his response, Rav Kook emphasized that the Torah's theoretical foundations cannot be safeguarded without practical mitzvot. We cannot truly absorb the Torah's philosophical teachings without concrete rituals. Rather, Rav Kook elucidated this Talmudic tradition in a slightly different vein. Clearly, Avraham did not literally perform the ritual of Eruv Tavshilin as we do today. Nevertheless, Avraham was able to apply the essential concept of this ceremony to his day-to-day life. So we need to understand, what was Eruv Tavshilin all about? This was not just a theoretical understanding, but a practical knowledge that guided him in his actions. What is the essence of Eruv Tavshilin? This ritual teaches us to distinguish between the sanctity of Shabbat and the lesser sanctity of the holidays. Avraham was also able to make this fine distinction. In his actions, in his life and deeds, he was able to differentiate not only between the sacred and the profane, but also between varying levels of holiness. Meaning, this was the religious sensitivity of Avraham Avinu. Not only was he a religious persona in the sense that he did mitzvot, not practically, but he understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us from the observance of the mitzvot, but even to very fine details. The Eruv Tavshilin is all about the subtle difference between the Kedusha of Shabbat and the Kedusha of Yom Tov. And that, those subtle differences in different levels of holiness, is what Avraham Avinu was able to intuit with his own religious personality. So we're not on the level of Avraham Avinu that we can do it without the mitzvot. We have the mitzvot that we can fulfill, and we should try and follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu to get meaning out of the mitzvot, to the extent that we're even able to internalize the ideas of Eruv Tavshilin and understand different levels of Kedusha. So thank you so much for letting me share Torah with you this afternoon. I very much value people who are able to take out time from the office and learn Torah together. It's a big privilege for me to be with you, and I was told to finish sharp on 2:45.